For more information on Victory Faith Centre and to download sermons at no charge, visit www.victoryfaithcentre.org.au.
Let's open in prayer this morning as we come around the Word of God in the presence of God. Heavenly Father, we praise you and thank you. We thank you for your wonderful Word. We glorify your Word in our midst. And Lord, we ask that this morning you open up and show us your Word, your ways in greater detail, in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. This morning we're looking at the glorious gospel committed to us. The glorious gospel committed to us. You know, we have across the earth today many different denominations, many different churches preaching all types of things. We shouldn't be surprised that there are some people that are leaving whole sections of the Word of God out. They don't have, for example, a doctrine about the Holy Ghost properly. They don't, or are very fearful of even mentioning the word prosperity in connection with Christians. And they know very little about faith or healing or health and how to be led by the Spirit and things like that. We shouldn't be surprised that that's the case when there is a preaching that is not giving the whole gospel and the whole truth. We need to see that the gospel is a gospel that covers the whole man and gives a salvation that the Lord Jesus Christ has provided by his sacrifice and the price of his blood, gives a salvation that covers the whole of our life, the whole of man. So let's have a look at 1 Timothy 1, verses 8 to 16, first of all. We have a gospel that needs to be preached. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ that needs to be preached right across the globe, right across the earth today. And that gospel has been committed to us. The Bible tells us, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. So the preaching of the gospel, the good tidings, the good news, the truth of God, that has to be preached through all the world. And it can't be just one part of the scriptures. It can't be just one part of the gospel. It needs to be the whole gospel. Looking at 1 Timothy chapter 1, we'll start from verse 8. It says, but we know that the law is good, if a man use it lawfully, knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and for sinners, for unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for men stealers, for liars, for perjured persons, and if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering, for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. Now, do you believe on Him, on the Lord Jesus Christ, to life everlasting? You know, there is the law of God. The law of God, as it says in verse 9, was not made for a righteous man. The law of God was made to show that God's law, God's truth, is a standard, is the right way to go, and that that law is contrary to sin. And so we know that man in his fallen state will be measuring up to that law, and if he's found wanting, then we see that there is a need for the Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. And if a person admits that they're a sinner, that they have sinned against a holy God and violated the law of God, then they can come to that Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. And you see here in verse 15, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to what? Save sinners, of whom I am chief. Now, it's very important to see that it's not just saving the sinner so that they no longer go to hell. Now, how do we see that that's the case? Well, we see that that's the case because before what had happened to Paul was doing was blaspheming and persecuting and injuring. And verse 13, this is what he was before, a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious. But he obtained mercy. There was a change that happened within him. And now, because he believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, now that change enabled him to start to live according to what the way God wanted him to live. That was that glorious gospel that shone that light into his life, into his heart. And he believed. He believed. He said, I believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. I repent of sin and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And, you know, all of us have come to that door, the Lord Jesus Christ. The door, then we go through that door into the kingdom of God. Verse 11 says, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. Notice it's the glorious gospel. Glorious gospel. Glorious talks about light and value. Glorious gospel of the blessed God. So we see there's blessing involved in it. And it was committed to Paul's trust as a minister of God. And we know that it's committed to the church overall. And what we can do individually, yes, some of us are preaching, others of us are supporting in other ways, through time and resources and finances and obviously prayer, we can all support. We can also support through our witnessing to others and talking about the Lord Jesus Christ and the gospel, that glorious gospel. Clearly, there is a committing of the gospel, not just to Paul himself. Because if that was the case, he'd be the only one that has preached the gospel. But no, it's a committing to the church. The church now has to go forward, and with that glorious gospel, we come to the world, go into all the world, and with that glorious gospel we say, this is the way. This is the way. And that darkness that they're walking in, they can come out of and come into the way where they can walk in the way of light. And the way of light is that full salvation out of all of the curse, out of all of the ways of darkness, and into that glorious way of the Lord. That light that shone through the light of the Word of God. Have a look also at 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and I believe that this particular sermon will be a two-part sermon. 2 Corinthians 4 verses 3-7. So he said that the gospel must come to the lost, and the lost must see that they are lost indeed. They have to see that they need They need to come out of darkness. They need to come out of blindness. They need to come out of all deceit and all disobedience to God and come into the ways of God. So looking at 2 Corinthians 4, starting from verse 3, it says, "But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us." Now, if you think of Saul of Tarsus, that's Paul before he was born again, if you think of what he was doing, persecuting and injuring and threatening and so on, and blaspheming, he may have, in his mind, in his heart at the time, thought he was doing the right thing. I mean, he was following the Jews' religion, and he was thinking, "Oh, I'm doing the right thing according to what, you know, my fathers have said and what the teachings have said." But, you know, he was in darkness. He thought he was doing the right thing, and there's a lot of people who are thinking that they're doing the right thing, but they need the gospel to shine light on their deeds to show that what you're doing is in violation to the law of God, transgression, coming against God's law, against truth, and that you are lost without Christ. You are lost without Christ. Your life has no direction without Christ. And without Christ, there is no light. What is necessary is for the light of the glorious gospel to come in. But you know, there's an enemy, and that enemy was keeping Saul of Tarsus in blindness and is currently keeping many in blindness. And that's how it's hid, by this blindness, keeping like a veil over people's minds, so that they're thinking one thing: "Oh, I'm okay. Oh, I don't need that religion stuff. I don't need that Bible stuff. I don't need that Jesus stuff. I don't need to go that way." But they're not thinking right. They're blinded. And so the light of the glorious gospel has to come to them. And so the God of this world, Satan, that's little g, God of this world, he has a deliberate agenda, deliberate strategy to keep people's minds blinded. But God's purpose is also in this earth. God's purpose and God's work is also in this earth. Jesus is currently building his church, and he's equipping his people so that they can preach the glorious gospel. Because as it says in verse 4, "In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not." So what has to change? They have to change from believing not to believing. To believing. "Blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake." Now, it's important to see that people are outside of the will of God, and if they don't acknowledge the Lord Jesus Christ, they're in that darkness. It doesn't matter whether they're the nice person over there, if they're living a life that is completely separate from the Lord Jesus Christ, and they don't want anything to do with him, don't want anything to do with his word, don't want anything to do with listening to the gospel, then they stay in darkness. Their minds are blinded, no matter what their rationale or justification for it is. That doesn't matter. Why? Because the nature of man has to be changed. A person's nature has to be changed. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. They have to have a spiritual birth. They have to change. And when that person changes, is made into a new creature in Christ. And that new creature can grow, and there has to be that understanding of the fullness of salvation. Their souls have to be saved. They have to have the renewing of their mind. Their bodies have to be trained. Their bodies have to be put into subjection to what God wants. So there's that ongoing understanding in a person's life as they've come through the door. So salvation is more than just, as we said before, more than just, well, you've come out of the world, you've believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, you're now going to heaven. Yes, but what do you have to go into now? You go into the things of the Lord. You come out of the curse into blessing. You come out of darkness into light. And there is a way for us to go forward in that. Let's have a look at Luke 4. Luke 4, 16 to 21. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ preached the gospel. And we should all understand that. And understanding that means that we see that the gospel is present, both when he was on earth and both now. It's present, it hasn't changed, that mankind needs to come to God, that salvation is now provided through what the Lord Jesus has done. So he was pointing to the kingdom of God coming and being established, and we know that it is established, and it's established because Jesus said the kingdom of God is within you and it's in our hearts, and we can grow and understand more and more of that. Now Luke 4, start from verse 16 and we'll go to verse 21. Luke 4, start from verse 16, go to verse 21. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister, and sat down, and the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." So Jesus said that the Spirit of the Lord was upon him, and he was a preacher, and you can see very clearly that he was to preach the gospel. You can see that it was a gospel to the poor both in spirit and in the material. The destruction of the poor is their poverty, the Bible tells us. So we shouldn't be afraid to preach the gospel in all its fullness. It is a gospel that encompasses, as we see here, encompasses those that are poor. So it addresses poverty. It encompasses healing. So it addresses sickness. It encompasses deliverance. So it addresses everything that causes people to be ensnared and out of victory. It encompasses recovering of sight to the blind. So it addresses people that need to have direction in their lives. Set at liberty them that are bruised. So we have a gospel that is full of freedom, full of liberty. So the Lord Jesus Christ preached this, and he preached it wherever he went. And this is an important thing to understand, because when he preached it, what was he doing? The Bible tells us he was going about, he went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. He is preaching, and out of that preaching came the word confirmed. The word confirmed. When he preached the gospel, it wasn't just, well, you can go to heaven, you can be forgiven. You know, our gospel is remission of sin, cancellation of sin. Our gospel is one where we can be changed and transformed and be new creatures in Christ. Our gospel is one for the whole man, spirit, soul, and body. And so it must be that all the blessings of God are encompassed in that gospel. Not just part of the blessings, but all the blessings of God. Have a look at Acts 10:38. Acts 10:38. We see that the Lord Jesus Christ was anointed. And in fact, he said that the Spirit of the Lord was upon him. And Acts 10, verse 38, tells us clearly about the Lord Jesus Christ and what he was doing. Verse 38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. God was with him. So he went about doing good. Well, we saw that he was sent to preach. So preaching is good. We saw that the preaching involved the preaching of the gospel. Well, the preaching of the gospel is good. And we see that it's connected to healing, and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Well, that oppression of the devil encompasses all parts of man. We can have healing of the soul. We can have healing of the body. But God was with him. And God is with us too. The gospel that was committed to Paul is the same gospel committed to us. The gospel that was preached by the Lord Jesus Christ, that same gospel has to be preached right across the earth. But we'll look at that in a minute. Have a look at Mark 1, 14 and 15. And we see that the Lord Jesus Christ, the greatest preacher this planet has ever seen, in fact, the church cannot be against preaching. The church must be a preaching church. Preaching the word, preaching the truth, preaching the gospel. Notice what it says in Mark 1, 14 and 15. Now after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. This is what he was preaching. The gospel of the kingdom of God. Now, the gospel of the kingdom of God is very important for us to see that the Lord Jesus Christ, as the King, he is made in our lives our Lord, our Saviour. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And we know that as he is alive in us, we can walk, the Bible says, we can walk even as he walked. Did he walk in victory? Did he walk in faith? Did he walk in truth? All of that is available to us. So we see that the first thing is repent, repent ye, and believe the gospel. So remember, the God of this world blinds the minds of them which believe not. So when the glorious gospel comes to people, when that gospel comes, they have a choice. They have to repent. Why? Because the law of God says, you are not right. You are not righteous with God. And you need to come to the Saviour. Come out of sin, have your sins remitted, and come to the Saviour and be made righteous. And then you have access to all of the kingdom of God, the blessings of the kingdom of God. You believe the gospel. The gospel will open up the things of God to you. It's the glorious light of the gospel of Christ. The glorious gospel, that light of the glorious gospel of Christ, that light comes in and illuminates. This is the way, walk in it. This is the truth. This is the victory you can have. This is the healing and health you can be in. This is the prosperity you can have. This is the forgiveness. All of this is available through people believing the gospel. Now, if you have a look at Matthew 24, verse 14, we see that that gospel was not just reserved for the time of the Lord Jesus Christ. That gospel, the glorious gospel, is needed right to the very end. Right to the very end. And we see it in Matthew 24, verse 14. Now we saw that he was preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. And that's what he says in verse 14. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world, for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. So what's God's plan and purpose? What's he saying? Well, the same gospel that the Lord Jesus Christ preached, of which there was the connection of healing, and as we said, preached the gospel to the poor, there's prosperity. That same gospel shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations. Has that happened yet? I don't believe so. We know parts of the gospel has been preached. Gospel to the lost. That is, you're lost and you need to have your sins remitted and you'll go to heaven. Part of that. But there's all types of denominations and people in the Christian churches that leave out parts of the gospel completely. Leave it out completely. So we ask the question again, as it says, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. Has that gospel been preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations? Not yet. But it is going forward. It is being preached. And there is, even in this day, the capacity and the ability for the church to be able to reach. I mean, we have global communication systems now in our day that Paul didn't have any access to. But we have that now. And that's available. So no wonder there's a great war against the truth being disseminated. There's a whole war, even now, in our on the earth today, against truth. But we need to see that the gospel of the kingdom shall... This is a prophecy by the Lord Jesus Christ. It's going to come to pass no matter what. This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations. And then shall the end come. Then shall the end come. There has to be some major changes on the planet Earth. There has to be some great changes that are coming up. Because for that verse, that prophecy to be fulfilled, this is what has to happen. The gospel shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations. And he's not talking about part of the gospel, he's talking about the whole gospel there. Praise the Lord. Have a look at Acts 14, 5 to 10. Acts 14, 5 to 10. We'll just go through a couple more scriptures. Acts 14, start from verse 5. It says, verse 5 of Acts 14, "And when there was an assault made both of the Gentiles and also of the Jews with their rulers to use them despitefully and to stone them, they were aware of it and fled unto Lystra and Derbe, cities of Lycaonia, and unto the region that lieth round about. And there they preached," what? "The gospel." There they preached the gospel. Okay. So there was a dispersing of people who had that testimony in their hands, that testimony that needed to be preached, which is the gospel. Verse 8. "And there sat a certain man at Lystra, impotent in his feet, being a cripple from his mother's womb, who never had walked. The same heard Paul speak." Now wait a minute. They were preaching in verse 7 the gospel. And then straight after, we see that it's talking about a man who is crippled. So there must be some hope in the gospel for this crippled man. It says the same heard Paul speak, who steadfastly beholding him, and perceiving that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, "Stand upright on thy feet." And he leaped and walked. This is something that's very important for us to see. Had to get faith to be healed. Well, how does faith come? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, according to Romans 10. So we see that the gospel being preached, has this component within it. You can be healed. You can be strong. So it's not just you can be forgiven, although that's part of it. Your transgressions, you know, he forgiveth all thine iniquities, he healeth all thy diseases, is part of the benefits of God, part of those benefits. So this man was healed because he heard Paul speak. They were preaching the gospel. Let's have a look at Mark 16. We'll finish with this today. We'll have to continue next time I preach. Mark 16. Look at verse 14. Mark 16. It's no wonder that the devil has disputed, and we see it in the manifestation of the modern versions, has disputed the second half of Mark 16. Of course, it's in our Bible. It's historically witnessed to. It's the correct reading. But he's disputed this section in Mark 16. In Mark 16, starting from verse 14, it says, "Afterward," this is talking about Jesus, "afterward he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen." Okay, so the Lord Jesus Christ hates unbelief and he hates hardness of heart. Okay, remember that. And then he gives this commission to them. Verse 15, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Now, here's a question. Did they know what the gospel was? Did they know what the gospel was? Well, yes, they did. Because Jesus was preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and he said, this gospel will be preached. Okay? Right to the end of the world. Be preached. He says, and then shall the end come. It'll go to all nations. Did they know what the gospel was? When he said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, did they know what the gospel was? They must have known it. Okay? They must have known what the gospel was. Because then it goes into things that would happen, and it's hinged on the preaching of the gospel. He that believeth, verse 16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Well, that's the first thing, believing the gospel so that you're not going to be damned, you're not going to go to hell. That's the first thing. But there's other things, because it's these signs shall follow them that believe. They're believing what? Well, they're believing the gospel, aren't they? So there must be other things involved in the gospel than just you're not going to be damned if you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and have him as your saviour. That's what I'm saying about the full gospel. The full gospel, not just part of it being preached. These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Amen. Now, the preaching of the gospel has to be the full gospel. Now, it is good that the lost have had the preaching to them that you need the Lord Jesus Christ as your Saviour. No doubt many people have been born again through just believing that. But there's more to the gospel in terms of the way we can come into the kingdom of God and then expand, and our victory on the earth as overcomers on the earth. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Our victory on the earth is through our continuing in the salvation that's been provided. And the gospel explains that salvation. So we have to have a full salvation to be able to operate properly on the earth in the full capacity that God wants us to have. So this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world. Now Jesus gave that commission there in verse 15. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That gospel is going to be preached in all the world. That's a prophecy of the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. And we have the privilege of being part of making sure that the gospel is preached. We have that privilege because it's the gospel committed to us now. When he in verse 15 said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, he was committing the gospel to his church. And specifically, there'll be ministers who'll be preaching that gospel, and there'll be people that will be supporting it in the church. Glory to God. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we praise you and thank you. We thank you for the glorious gospel committed to us. We thank you, Lord, that you are working in us and equipping us, and by your grace, you are showing us our part. Heavenly Father, I pray that every one of us here would see exactly where we fit and what we are to do in this great commission of preaching the glorious gospel. And we praise you, Lord. And we today, even now as a church, we thank you, Lord, for that privilege of being able to preach your word, preach your gospel. And Lord, help every one of us here. In Jesus' name.